It's good to see each one of you here this morning. I invite you to turn your Bible to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we want to take a look at verses 14 through 17. Verse number 14 for our text, and then we'll come back to these passages. And out of verse number 14, we want to get our thought for this morning. In John chapter 1, verse number 14, the scripture says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us," and then in parentheses, "and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father," close parentheses, listen, "full of grace and truth." Full of grace and truth. What we want to consider this morning with the Lord's blessing and help is the subject, the grace of Jesus. The grace of Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the day. And Lord, we thank You for Your people and every visitor that has come this morning to the services. And we thank You for Your blessings upon us already. Lord, we have many that are missing because of travel and because of sickness. And we pray Your help and blessings upon each one and that You would bring them back safely and to us. And Lord, we thank You for the promise that You've given us, that You will meet with us. And Lord, we thank You for the way that You have. And Lord, we just praise Your name that even Olmsted Baptist Church here this morning on this day, and we be few in number, Lord, You are very, very interested in us and what these things that are going on here at this time. We praise Your name for that. And Lord, we look to praise and honor and glorify Your name today. And Lord, we look to proclaim the truth of the gospel. And Lord, that for any that are here in our midst that are not saved, we pray, Father, that even this day You would save them. Lord, we know Your arm is not short and Your power is not waning, but Father, You're ever strong to save, and we pray, Father, that You would. And Lord, as You do, we'll be careful to give You the praise and honor and glory for it. Lord, we pray for sinners at hand, Father, that You would stir them and show them their great need. Lord, they might see the grace of Jesus. And Lord, that they'd repent of their sins, come to You in repentance and faith as You command. Lord, You'd save and work in their hearts and lives. Help now, we pray, and bless this word. Give utterance of Your word unto me, Father, and help me to be used of You to feed Your people. And Lord, that we might worship You at this time. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Here, John writes, and he's declared about the Word being in the beginning, and that the Word was there with God, and the Word was God. He says that at the beginning of the chapter. And here in verse number 14, he says, the Word was made flesh, okay? Jesus was made flesh. He came down, the Word, the one that has fulfilled all the Word and prophecy, the written Word of God, the declaration of God Almighty, the one who has fulfilled all that and will fulfill it. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. We'll take a look at that. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's full of grace and truth. We'll go ahead and let's read these other verses. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, that is John the Baptist, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was," or because he was before me. Verse 16, "And of His fullness all have all we received, and grace. For the law was given by Moses." But listen, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so we want to consider this morning the grace of Jesus. What led me to this study and this consideration is just a look-see about this word grace, or even the Greek word that is grace, charis. I realized, and I think I knew it before, but had forgotten it. We know a gal by the name of Charis. Brother Cecil Fayard's, one of his daughters, is named Charis. And they gave her that name, and that's a Greek name, and it means grace, or in some other synonyms that we'll bring out. But I got to wondering about this word grace and the Greek word charis in the Gospels. How is it mentioned? We know much of the epistles to the churches and the general epistles, as they're called. There's much mentioned about grace in those passages, but I became curious about how much is mentioned in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, here we have this passage, and it's mentioned a few times. And understand, this word grace, this Greek word charis, is speaking about graciousness or gratifying to as a manner of an act. It can be literal, it can be figurative or spiritual. We understand and know that the word grace is talking about especially the divine influence upon the heart, how the Lord visits and changes and touches the heart. To understand that the soul might understand of the sinner, might understand about the truth of God's word and such as that. Another word, a synonym for the English word grace is that or is acceptable or benefit, or I like the word favor, okay, favor, or gift, or joyful liberality is a synonyms for the word grace, or pleasure, or even thanks, or thanksworthy is the way that it's used. I find it interesting that the word grace comes from a Greek word that means to be full of cheer. Isn't that interesting? That the word grace, the word charis, comes from a Greek word that means to be full of cheer, calmly happy, or well off. Isn't that interesting? I find that interesting that it comes from that. The synonyms for that word that grace or charis comes from are farewell or to be glad or even Godspeed, greeting, hail, or to joyfully rejoice. And so this word charis, this word grace or favor, benefit, different synonyms that I mentioned, it comes from that which is joyful and great and full of cheer. Other passages that this word is found in, they're very few, okay? And one is in Luke chapter 1, verse number 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Okay, it's the same word as we find here in John chapter 1, the word grace, and in other places in the New Testament. In Luke chapter 2, continuing on in the Gospels, verse number 40, and the child grew, speaking of Jesus, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace or the favor of God was upon him. Speaking about Jesus as he grew up. And then in Luke chapter 2, in that same chapter, in verse number 52, the scripture says there, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. He grew up and became more wise and in favor with God and man. Same word, favor, grace, favor. In Luke chapter 6, verse number 32, the Lord says this, for if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? And that word thank is the same Greek word charis, or translated as we've seen in John chapter 1, grace. What thank have ye? What favor have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank, there it is again, have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye have hope to receive, what thank have ye? What grace have ye? What favor have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. On in Luke, I find it interesting that most of the other uses of this word are found in the book of Luke, from what we've read there in John and in the Gospels. In Luke chapter 17, verse 9, speaking about how it is with a master and a servant, the Lord has asked, or the Lord's disciples have asked the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord has given them a parable about a master that has a servant and how it is when they go and work and how it is when they come back and who eats first and such as that. And in Luke 17, verse 9, the Lord says, does he, the master, thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? He says, I trow not. I don't think so. It's the servant's job to do, to meet his office and fill that. He doesn't favor him anymore for obeying, because that's his job. That's his work. And that's what we've been called, is to obedience and to work for the Lord because of what he's done for us and because he is God. And then we come to Luke chapter 4, and I invite you to turn over here one other passage where this word grace is used, a form of it, and it's the same Greek word charis. In the English, it's rendered here as gracious. And I want you to see, I want us to see, and I believe that this will be a springboard to lead us into this consideration of the grace or the favor of Jesus. Okay? We want to look at it about relative to the Lord Jesus Christ and what's said in the Gospels about the grace of Jesus. In Luke chapter 4, verse number 22, the scripture says here, "And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb." I need to catch up and get in the right chapter, don't I? Luke chapter, no, I was there in the right place. Oh no, an error. Okay, I got the wrong verse. Luke chapter 4, verse 22. "And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words," or the words of favor, if you will, "which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son?" I trust you know the account. We back up into verse number 14, and it says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about." And what is this? This is after the temptation, and then 40 days and nights of fasting, and the temptation by Satan of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so from that low time, that time of testing, now is a great time. What's it say there? "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit." Okay? Verse 15, "And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." Now listen, we read down here in verse 22, and let's read it again. We're holding there at verse 18. "And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth." And they said, this is their quandary. Okay, they're saying this out of quandary of mind. "Is not this Joseph's son?" As it's said in other places, how doth this man know letters? Okay, how has he learned so of the scriptures? And they say here, gracious words, words of favor. Look at this, and we're considering the grace of Jesus. Verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." The grace, the favor of Jesus. It's not for self, but it's being extended to the poor that need to hear the gospel. "And he sent me to heal the brokenhearted." The grace of Jesus, the favor of Jesus is extended to the brokenhearted. He said, this has been prophesied of me. Okay? And he's going to confirm that here in a minute. To heal. He says, to heal the brokenhearted. This is God. This is the Son of God. Why would he care about the brokenhearted? He's king and ruler of all. Sin has brought defeat and despair and destruction of mankind. Why would Jesus, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, why would he embark to deal with the poor and in spirit and the brokenhearted? To preach deliverance to the captives. There are those who are captive by something. And he says, I have come to preach deliverance to them. Gracious words, words of favor. Jesus says he has been sent to favor the poor in spirit, to favor the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance and favor the captives, to be gracious, to give what is needed for their help. He said, goes on here, and recovering of sight to the blind. There are those that are blind, and they need help in seeing. And the Lord speaks gracious words of favor, even to the blind. delivering to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and listen, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, because to an extent they got it. He was telling about himself. He was telling about the beginning of his ministry, what he was sent to do. What's it say there at the beginning of that passage? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's the sanction of God Almighty, because he hath appointed me, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Father. Jesus has been sent to show favor upon sinners, to be gracious, to be a graceful and gracious Savior and Lord. He says he's done this that he might be a help to the poor, the brokenhearted, the blind, the captives, the bruised, and to say, the Lord's Savior's here. This is the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book, they all look on him, verse 21, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. It's happened right here in me. It's not a brag, it's the truth. Amen? And all bear witness, and all bear him witness, listen, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they had a quandary, and they said, is not this Joseph's son? So in all of these passages that we've mentioned in the Gospels, these are all the ones that mention or use that Greek word charis and different English forms that come through regarding that of grace. And what do we find? What do we find in this? We find that grace, favor, comes from Jesus Christ. Grace, or if you will, favor, a synonym for that, comes from Jesus Christ. Grace isn't a thing you find over here tucked underneath a pew or back here in a closet, up on a shelf in a bucket or a bottle. But favor comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us back to our consideration in John chapter 1. And let's go back there. So we see here, and we were talking about this expression of grace or favor, that it, in the Gospels, it centers around Jesus Christ. And of course, it does always in the New Testament too. But we want to take a look. It does us well to go back and take a look, in a sense, at the beginnings of things, okay? Brother Doug mentioned about Abraham, and he believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found favor in the eyes of the Lord because of the Lord's pleasure, we know. He believed, they believed, both of them, those men, they believed God. They believed what God said. And so we want to consider here in the New Testament with Jesus coming and this manifestation of grace, the grace of Jesus Christ. Back here in John chapter 1, verse number 14, and the Word was made flesh, we understand that, and dwelt among us. He had a life of 33 years, and we beheld His glory. John says, we saw Him and we heard Him, and as the disciples spent time with Him, it didn't take much time at all for them to be blessed to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, His dignity, His honor, the praise and worship that was due Him because of who He is, speaking about them with the Lord Jesus Christ in their presence. He says here, He says, and we beheld His glory. We saw His dignity. We saw the honor, Him as who He was and who He is, and the honor and praise and worship that's due His name. He said they were, it's as if, He said, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. Yeah. Yeah, and John has written here, he says, God came down and became a man. The Son came down and became a man And he was around us. He came nigh and near unto us. For some reason, he favored us. Isn't that something? And John realizes that. This great one that came, and we were able to be with him. We beheld his glory. Remember, John was one of the ones that went up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter and James, with Peter and his brother. And he saw the Lord transfigured before them. He got to see the Lord in some of his glory that was squelched down, that was pushed down for the time that the Lord Jesus came to be a man. They saw the king. They had expectation that the Lord Jesus would defeat the Romans and kick them out and would establish Israel as a nation, didn't they? That was their expectation. See, it was so there, and what I get out of this in verse number 14, this part, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of only the only begotten of the Father. It's like it says in Proverbs 29, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. They rejoice. Remember what Nathanael said at his meeting of the Lord Jesus and what Jesus told him about him before Nathanael met the Lord? I know that's kind of confusing. But remember, Nathanael was Andrew, went and got him, right? And he comes to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus says, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there's no guile, there's no deception in you." Because what did Nathanael say? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He was honest. He was honest, wasn't he? And remember what Nathanael said. Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Favor. Grace. The grace of Jesus Christ. It goes on to say there in John 1:14 at the latter part of the verse, full of grace and truth. See, the Lord Jesus Christ came as a man, but the Lord Jesus Christ was in no wise limited as a man. In John chapter 3, just happen to think about this verse, in verse number 34, "For he whom God hath sent," that is Jesus, "speaketh the word of God, the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." See, Jesus is the all in all. He is the manifestation of God unto us. And it says here, John says, he was made flesh, he dwelt among us, and we looked at him, we saw him, we beheld him, we experienced him, and he's full of grace and truth. You know, and think about that. That word grace, maybe it's not so with you, but it seems like that even in this day, we can get tripped up by that word somewhat. And I like to look at that word and consider that word grace as favor. Look what Jesus did. Did he come in one whit for anything for himself? Did he come in anything for promotion of himself? And we're going to look at this and consider about it. But Jesus came at the directive of the Father, for the sake of his people. Think about it. He's full of grace and truth. He's full of grace. He's full of favor and truth. Look at all that Jesus did for all those that were around him in the day of his ministry. And think about that. Everything that he did, when he healed, or even when he rebuked, was it not for the better of those whom he was around and came in contact with? When he so preached and railed on the Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees, and lawyers, did he not tell them the truth? Was that not for their betterment? It was. Indeed, he is full of grace. He's full of favor and truth. It goes on to say here, John the Baptist bare witness of him and cried, "This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me because he was before me." John understood who Jesus was. He was from everlasting. And he says, if you knew, you would prefer him rather than me. But nevertheless, I've been sent to do the work that I've done. And then it goes on here in verse number 16. And John writes, John the apostle, John the revelator, and of his fullness have all we received. See, fullness. He's full of grace, full of favor and truth, full of grace and truth. He says, and of his fullness have we received. This word fullness is speaking about repletion or completion. And you know, I find that interesting. A whole message could be preached on that. The Lord Jesus Christ takes a sinner and saves him and changes him. Turns him around. He's dead in trespasses and sins. And look what the Lord Jesus Christ does. Makes him alive. He, if you will, repairs him. Amen? We're dead. We're made in a trichotomy, body, soul, and spirit. And our spirit naturally is dead. We need help. And that's what Jesus does, is he fixes the unfixable somehow with the power of God. But then also, as that word fullness is talking about, repletion and completion, he does make us whole in him, doesn't he? We are adopted. We're made children. There's nothing that we like. Brother Doug taught it in a Sunday school class this morning. Jesus Christ saves the soul by his gospel, by his death, by the shedding of his blood, by his burial and his resurrection. He saves sinners. There's not one little crack or opening, not one mismatch of the fabric of the gospel and salvation of the Lord that Satan can make any accusation towards that's legitimate or made complete. And John says, we've received of his fullness. His favor, his grace has been bestowed and spilled out upon us. It's been directed toward us. He came unto us. And of his fullness have all we received. And John is speaking from the standpoint of the saved. He said he's filled up and it's come to us. And look at this. And of his fullness have all we received. And look at this. I find this most interesting. And grace for grace. And favor for favor. You know what that word for there, Brother Doug dealt with the word for in his study, and that was the rendering of it in the English there. You know what this word for means? In the Greek, it's anti, A-N-T-I. And we would look at that word anti as being opposite. You would take bad and give good, or you would take good and give bad. You would take light and give dark. You would take clean and give dirty. That's what that word for is there. But what's the Lord Jesus do? He gives favor for favor. The blessing and touch of the Lord is just mind-boggling and blowing. The Lord gives great and wonderful blessings. And if you will, I think this is what the scripture, what John's getting at, what the Lord is telling it to us. The Lord gives great and wonderful blessings, and in the stead of those, he gives even greater. You don't lose with the Lord at all, do you? His favor upon sinners, his favor upon his people is without compare, isn't it? He says, and of his fullness have all we received, and this is the way it is with the Lord, and grace, anti-grace. But it's not good being taken away for bad. It's not opposite with the Lord, but what the Lord does is he just gives even more. And think about the life of the child of God. Once we're saved, and the Lord blesses to see his truth, now, we can be disobedient and have a pile of trouble, but you know what? We're going to end up in glory. I tell you what, don't go the Lot route. You can make it to the life to come so as by fire. But that's a terrible way to go. Obey. We obey the Lord and there's blessing upon blessing. We honor Him. We believe Him. We grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. We trust Him. We rest in Him. We look to Him. And it just gets better and better and better for the child of God. Even if they come and kill us, we're in the next moment with the Lord. Who else can do that? Who else can give such a promise? John says, and of His fullness have all we received, and grace, anti-grace. The Lord just piles it on. The Lord doesn't do opposite, but He just does even better and better. Grace instead of grace, or favor instead of favor. Oh, what a wonder it is. Listen to this. For the law was given by Moses, and the law said, do this, and if you don't, you're guilty. The law said, don't do this, and if you do so, you're guilty. The law came by Moses. Period. Isn't that what it says there? Because that's the way the law is. The law is, or there's a comma there, for the law was given by Moses, and that's the end of that thought. It's done. The law is the law. And that's it. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. The law says what it says. But what's it go on to say? And praise God for it. Because you know what? We couldn't keep the law, could we? We couldn't obey the law. We're found contrary to the law. You know what? Matter of fact, we're the reason. We are the reason the law has been given. Why? Because we're disobedient. We need a corrector. And that's the reason the law was given. But what's it say here? But grace, favor. Yeah, we say it is unmerited favor. You know, we don't believe as the universalists or the Catholics believe that we can gain the grace of God. We have nothing within us to gain anything from God. But He tells His word and He tells the truth and He says, believe it, receive it. And He gives favor, favor upon us. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace or favor came by Jesus Christ. And what's it say here? Truth came by Jesus. When someone favors you, it's an expression of their care for you, isn't it? If someone favors you enough and it comes around to your birthday time, they maybe send you a birthday card or give you a gift or something like that. Or if a couple is favored by other and it comes to their anniversary time, they'll call them up and sing happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary to you. Or something like that because they favor them. They love them, right? That's a very complicated song, I know, but it does express the care. The grace of Jesus, how has it been expressed towards mankind, towards sinners? The favor of the Lord. See, grace isn't something that's in a bucket or a pot, and it's not sitting up on the shelf or over here in some at the bottom of the rainbow or something like that. But grace is what Jesus has done towards loving us. We who are saved. We can say that. So we think about the grace of Jesus. Let's just go back. Let's go back to eternity past. In eternity past, God considered and thought of us. He showed us favor, didn't He? Did He have to? Being all-knowing and all-wise and the creator of all. In eternity past, God was not obligated to think about us, we who are saved, was He? But He was gracious towards us in that He considered us, didn't He? He favored us. In eternity past, back there the God determined to do something to rescue us. God could have considered our situation to come. Because remember, we're dealing with God here. We're not dealing with a man. And he could have determined not to do anything, couldn't he? He'd have been righteous to do so, wouldn't he? But yet he was gracious and favored us, didn't he? And thirdly, the Father at that point in eternity purposed to send his only Son as Savior. He didn't have to consider to do that. By no means obligated in one whit. But see, he favored us. We're not even around yet. And he favored us. He was gracious unto it wasn't essential, it wasn't necessary, it was not required that God even think about us. Not even the thought. We think about a lot of things, but a lot of things that I think about that I don't do. But God was gracious in even thinking about us, and then he purposed to do something, didn't he? He purposed to send the Son, his only Son, as Savior. And you know what? The Son said, "No, I'm not going." But the Son was gracious. He was extended favor towards us, and he said, "I'll go." What a wonder, huh? On the vantage point of looking and knowing how sorry and despicable we would be. And that's the way it was. We would be. And then the Son, somehow, seemingly, it tells us in the Scriptures, or I think we understand it and can't understand it in the Scriptures, that the Son then sets aside his glory and embarks, even from eternity, on becoming a man. You look in John chapter 17, where the Lord Jesus, he prays to the Father, and he says, "Restore the glory that I had with thee before the world was." Why does Jesus say that way? Because seemingly there was something, I wonder, and I'll just say it that way, there was something that Jesus laid aside, even then, on embarking on becoming a man. He's full of grace and truth, isn't he? And then the Son, by the Father, creates all things, all the worlds, and all that are in them is, as the Scripture says. And then the next point in this consideration of the grace, the favor of Jesus, the Father works to bring the lineage of his Son along for 4,000 years. He keeps that all lined up right. In impossible situations, he'll cause a child to be born. Even when Jesus' great, 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 however far back it was, granddaddy was in captivity in Babylon, the Father blessed that another son could come along. His favor, his grace upon us is great. And then in dealing with, we consider about Abraham and Jacob, the Son or the angel of the Lord visits many of the saints during that 4,000 years, don't they? Joshua, Abraham, Jacob. Why would the Lord even take note to go visit anybody? He favored us, didn't he? He was gracious. And to our forebears. The Father establishes his nation from among whom he will call his Son. He ordains that he'll make of Jacob a nation, Israel. Next, the Father sends prophets with his word to tell about the coming of his Son. Why would God even bother to provide his word for us? But he did. He's gracious in doing so, isn't he? And giving and bringing his word unto us. Jesus is full of grace and truth. The Spirit of God conceives within Mary, the Lord Jesus Christ. Emmanuel is at hand. God is among us. Jesus grows up, and we read some passages about this in Luke. He grows up from a baby to a toddler to a boy to a young man and then to a man, so that he might be an appropriate, right sacrifice and substitute for sinners. Nothing else would have worked. Not an angel, not an animal, but God become a man. He favored us, didn't he? And he wasn't thinking about self. He was thinking about his people, wasn't he? He starts his ministry and does so many, many things for men, women, boys, and girls, doesn't he? He heals, throws out demons. We read about what was prophesied about him there in Isaiah. Heal the brokenhearted, recovering a sight to the blind, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Full of grace and truth. Well, look, what did Jesus ever do that was just for himself? What? Name one thing. He did it all for others, didn't he? He's full of favor, isn't he? He's full of grace and truth. He starts his ministry and does so many things, as it says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "He himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." Speaking about the healing that Jesus did. And in John chapter 12, verse 37, what John wrote, I can't help but think of this. "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." He did so much. He showed so much favor in revealing himself and showing himself and coming. He touches lepers contrary to the law and heals them. He comes near to those that are in need, to those that are sick. He comes poor, meek, and lowly, and endures rejection, shame, mocking, being despised and derided by his own nation. In that same chapter, in verse number 11, John 1, 11, he came into his own, and his own received him not. But he came. Praise God, he came. He's full of grace and truth, isn't he? And then what we read there and saw in verse number 17, John 1, 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." In his ministry, during this timeline that I've been giving you, revealing the fullness of his grace and truth, in his ministry, he does the greatest thing, I believe, of all for men, in that he tells the truth. The Proverbs that we've seen here lately in Proverbs 27 and verse 5, open rebuke is better than secret love. And that's what Jesus came and did. He openly rebuked us for our sin. And that's what we needed. That's exactly what we needed. In John chapter 15, verses 22 through 24, he says, "If I had not come and spoken unto them," speaking to the religious leadership of the day, but it's so for all, "they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak or covering for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father." Why did Jesus come and reveal sin? Did he need a lesson about what sin was or is? No, it was mankind. It was his nation. It was the leaders in his nation. And what Jesus came and did, it troubled their minds and it hurt them in a sense, but it was what they needed. It's what we needed. We needed our sin revealed. And John 8, 24, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Listen, if you're here without Christ, you're here and you're not saved, if you don't believe and receive that Jesus is the Savior, you will die in your sins. There's no other hope but Jesus Christ. He's full of grace and truth. He came preaching in Mark 1:15 and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel," because that's what sinners need. In Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul declares, and it's just along the same line, this passage is talking about justification is not by what we do, but justification is by Christ and faith in Him. Why? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Jesus has been gracious to bestow His righteousness upon sinners that believe and trust in Him by faith. In His ministry, He has done the greatest thing for all men in telling us the truth and providing Himself as a Savior and pays for His people's sins. In John 10, verse 17 and 18, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." For Himself? No, for us. He laid down His life for the likes of me, for the likes of you, if you're here and say. And then He raises from the dead, right? The angels declared in Mark 16, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid Him." And then somehow, Jesus being full of grace and truth, He imputes His righteousness to those that believe in Him. "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on Him," Romans 4, 5 says, "that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin," by Jesus. The Lord not imputing sin because of what His Son has done for the sinner, He has shown favor, hadn't He? He is abounding in favor, His abounding in grace is extended towards sinners. And then He gives everlasting life, doesn't He? Gives everlasting life to those who believe on Him. Simply in John 3:16, the Scripture says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is gracious. He chose favor in saving sinners that trust in Him. And then not only that, He promises to come and to bring to Himself those that believe in Him. John chapter 14, verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Who's He talking about? Is He talking about what He's doing? He's talking about what He's doing for us. His favor upon us. In John chapter 17, in the Lord's Prayer, in verse number 24, Jesus prays this. And I tell you what, it's amazing. Jesus facing the cross, that He would think. But see, we got the thinking of a man. I've got the thinking of a man, don't I? But listen to what Jesus prays in verse number 24. "Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." He said, I want them with me. He's asked the Father to keep not to take His children out of the world, but to keep them from the evil. He's talked about and prayed for those. He doesn't pray for everybody, He says plainly in that chapter, but He prays for those that the Father has given Him and those that will believe on the word that will be declared by those disciples at hand at that day. You know, that's you and me. That's you and me. The grace the favor upon sinners of Jesus Christ. We read in John chapter 1, verse number 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory." Have you? We need to look on at the Lord Jesus Christ and see His glory. It'll surely help us. "The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth," full of favor, full of truth. "John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness," John writes, "have all we received, and grace anti grace." See, the Lord doesn't give a contrary thing, but He just keeps giving more and more favor. Oh, when the Lord bestows favor, He just keeps on bestowing favor. Favor. And He's bestowed much favor upon us. "And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses," which was final, "but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Grace is not a person or a God, but rather a great attribute of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear that? Grace is not a person or a God, but rather a great attribute of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's shown favor to me. To you that are here and not saved, you know what? He's shown favor on you. "Well, Brother Jim, I'm not saved." You know what? He's told you through His Word and through His church, through His people, how to be saved. He's caused you to be born in this time. And not that there's anything special about this place, but He's brought you to this place that you might hear the truth of God's Word. He's shown favor in that sense to you. What's the Scripture say? There in that same chapter. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God." See, it's the Lord that saves. It's given to the sinner, not to do a work to be saved. Right, Brother Doug? Not to do this or that or the other to be saved, but to receive and to believe what the Lord has said for you. Believe it. May the Lord bless His Word.